As we continue to worship through the hearing of the Word of God, open your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. John chapter 10. Let's pray and then we'll read the Scriptures. Our Father in heaven, we come in that name of meekness and majesty, the Lord and the Lamb of glory, that wonderful conjunction of deity and manhood. O Father, as we come in and through Him, the only mediator given whereby we can approach You, the broker of all righteousness and all cleansing and pardon, the broker of every blessing from heaven and of our eternal hope. Father, we pray that You would give us to understand Him even better, to admire Him even more, and to trust in Him this morning as we consider His own claim to men. Oh, Father, will You give me the grace to speak as I ought? And again, will You open our ears and our hearts that we may bow to the revelation of God, that we may submit to all of its holy and blessed influences, and that, Lord God, You would grant that every single hearer here would enter through the door which Christ is. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus, therefore, said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he's a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice. And they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. These wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ come into the context of a controversy that arose under one of His more miraculous and wonderful miracles, and that is the healing of a man, granting the sight of a man blind from birth. Who has ever seen anything like that, was the testimony. But men themselves are opposed to the works of Christ Jesus. And it is in the face of that blindness of men that the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to help them, seeking to speak very simply and plainly and clearly about who He is, gives us these words that I have read in chapter 10. Christ uses very simple words, very simple analogies, metaphors and figures of speech that people might know who He is and what He has come for. And especially in John's Gospel, it is full of these very simple and yet significant, eternally significant statements. Jesus will make it plain who He is. And He will do it in terms so simple, maybe were maybe confounded and maybe overlooked the very simplicity of them and yet the very wonder of them. Jesus says in one place in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, in two places, even as we read here, Jesus says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. Jesus says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and I am the life. In chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And in many places in the Gospel of John, He says just simply this, I am. And that would hearken back, at least to a Jewish mind, to the very self-revelation of God Himself in the burning bush to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. When I say who you are, what shall I say to them? And God says, Yahweh says to Moses, tell them I am sent you. And Jesus Christ Himself takes that very name and attaches it to Himself throughout John's Gospel. I am, I am, I am. He is God Himself. He is Emmanuel. And so as we come to consider Christ this morning on this occasion that we rejoice in His resurrection, I want us to consider those most very simple words that He gives us in verse 9. There's much we could talk about in the whole context, but I want to be as simple and plain, and I don't think I can be as simple and plain as Jesus Christ, but I will seek to be as plain and simple as I can as we look at verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's a claim that Jesus Christ makes. It's just simply this. The most simple and startling claim. I am the door. And we might say that following that claim, there is an implied invitation. The invitation is these words. If anyone enters through me. There's the claim, I am the door. There is the implied invitation, as it were, a call. If anyone enters through me. And then there are the privileges and the promises of following up on that invitation and call, believing upon the claim of who He is. It's this, He shall be saved. He shall go in and out. He shall find pasture. And I want to just take it up, as it were, under those headings. And I may not be as clear and precise in my headings. I simply want you to consider Christ this morning, because that is who is all our salvation. That is our life. That is our resurrection. That is our bread. That is our light. That is our way. That is our truth. That is our Savior, our Redeemer, Shepherd, King, Lord, and Lamb. And so we want to consider Him and just look at Him in this under this aspect of Christ, the door. So consider first the claim. Consider the claim, and I just want to open it up. Isn't it wonderful how simple the Lord Jesus is? I was talking with some friends last night. You know, most of you can tell me what your occupation is, and I have no idea what you're doing. I think most of you know, I say I'm a pastor. Okay, we know what you do. You golf 6 days a week and you preach on Sunday. That's not true, but that's what they say. But it used to be, life used to be very simple. You used to be a merchant, you used to be a farmer, you used to be a laborer, but now, you know, I'm a computer systems analyst and programmer, IT is my work. I go, what does that mean? You know, but I mean, everything almost gets, I mean, even in retail work, you don't know what people do. But Christ Himself comes and is just this glorious simplicity here, doesn't He? You don't have to guess. Kids, do you know what a door is? Do I have to explain a door to you? You came in two doors to get in here. You're going to go out two doors to get out. Doors are very simple, and Christ Himself just condescends. He doesn't hide behind any kind of complexity and specialized terminology. No, He just says, I'm the door. But I want you to know, He doesn't say, I'm a lever. I'm not something that you can take and kind of with your own moral effort and energy kind of pry open the door of heaven. Just use me, but use all of your strength, all of your energy, and all of your effort. Jesus doesn't say, I'm not a lever. I'm not a lever by which you can pry heaven open. He says, I'm not a window either. I'm not a window so you can kind of get some glimpse of what glory may be like. Though even looking at Christ, you may get a sense of what glory is like. Jesus doesn't even say, I'm a sign, I'm a billboard. And there I am, I'm just sitting there on the highway of your life, and I've got this arrow that's pointing, and it says, that way. Jesus is indeed, can give us direction, but Jesus didn't come just simply to point something out. Jesus says, I'm a door here. I'm a door. He doesn't even say, I'm a ladder. I'm a ladder which you can kind of, again, just do whatever you want to do, climb up. I'll be kind of that assistant that you can use to get up to heaven. Jesus says, not that I'm a ladder. He says, I'm a door. He says, I'm not a mirror in which you can see maybe what you ought to be, and maybe some way by just exertion and resolve, someday you might be conformed to that pattern. Jesus indeed is the pattern to which those who believe in Him will be conformed. But Jesus doesn't say that I'm just simply a mirror. He says, I'm a door. I'm a door. Of just a very simple door. And it's almost like just taking it. Christ would just kind of set it in our minds. Maybe that every single time I walk through a door, I'm going to think of Jesus Christ and His invitation. I'm going to think of His claim that every door that I walk through, I cannot but think of Him. He's a door. He's a door. And let every door, as it were, be a calling to think of Him and to think of His great work. As you go out that door and into another door, and whatever door it may be that you open up, that you would think of Him who just simply says in the most wonderful and simplest claims, I am the door. But because He just simply says He's a door, and you look at a door just being, and again, the door in that time was a little bit different than our doors. But if you just think of just that kind of a door, it's pretty simple, isn't it? But Christ is a marvelous door. Christ is not a common door, and the fact that He uses this kind of common language ought not to kind of get us astray and let the simplicity of it fool us with regard to the splendor of it. Because Jesus is a most uncommon door. Jesus is not a common door. Christ, as we sang, isn't it? Meekness and majesty. Manhood and deity. There's never been a door like Christ. You know, every door in a certain sense, and some of you are going to say, well, this is not a proper Christology, but listen, I'm just using this as a picture. But in a certain sense, every door has two sides, doesn't it? I can look on this side, it's still the same door, there's two sides, but as He came into this earth, and even as He spoke, there was our side just looking at Him, and our side was a picture of humanity and meekness and humility. I mean, He was a door that was approachable, wasn't He? He was a door that was meek and lowly and humble. And you can imagine it, you little kids, that if Jesus Christ was now present in His incarnated existence as He was then, and He was in the midst of it, I would dare say all of you little muffins would just come running up to Him, laying a hold of His garment, trying to hold His hand. And just look, there was a tenderness, there was a meekness, there was a sweetness, there was an attractiveness about Jesus Christ and His meekness and His humanity and His humility. There was something that was an attractive about Him on that human side. And Jesus comes now, He's dropped down into our presence as Emmanuel, God with us, and there's that beautiful attractiveness. But we know if we could get on God's side of the door and look at it, we would see that there is deity. There is all of the fullness of deity in bodily form. That there is majesty there. That He Himself, this very door that in a certain sense looks that it can be grabbed and handled, is, as it were, God Himself. There's no common door. There's never been a door like Jesus Christ. He's an uncommon door. And it's a mystery, is it not, that there should be such a door through which men could enter. It's amazing that heaven would allow us to have a door. This is the most startling claim that there is a door, that there is a way of access out of where we are into what in all that God is. You understand, will you understand, and most of you will understand, listen, that there was access to God. The man was able in the very short span of the beginning of his history to live in the presence of God and to enjoy access. As it were, heaven was open. All of creation itself was an open door, and Adam and Eve could walk in the coolness of the garden and enjoy the fellowship and the communion of God. But you know how quickly the door was slammed shut. It was slammed shut by Adam's self-will, and the way was closed off by the cherubim of glory, and man was driven out of access and communion and nearness to the living God. The way was walled up, and it wasn't by God, it was by our sins. Our sins separated us from God.
And we ourselves, born with Adam's nature, born with Adam's guilt, continue to verify that we ourselves are not the sons of Adam in his innocence, but of Adam in his fallenness. As we confirm daily with our pride, with our lust, with our envy, with our backbiting, with our slandering, with our gossiping, with our lusting, with our backbiting, with all the things that we do, we confirm, as it were, our own heritage to Adam himself. And it's just, as it were, God being holy and being what He is, that He could just keep the door shut and there'd never be a door. Never be a way that we could come back to Him and enjoy Him who is the most excellent and most supreme of all beings. But here it is. The most amazing revelation it is. I am the door. Emmanuel is the door. Christ Jesus comes out of glory, sent from glory, by the love of the Father, and He becomes the door Himself by which we ourselves can have access back. And you would love a door, wouldn't you? If you were imprisoned, as it were, maybe like those British sailors, and just locked up in the bondage there, you would love it if there was a door to get out. You would love it if you were someone living, maybe as it were, at ground zero, if you knew the next attack of maybe missiles or armament, you would love a door to get out of there. If you were a miner just trapped in the deep, dank darkness of some mine, as it were, almost a hellhole, and there was a door to get out, you would love it. If your house was on fire because you had set it on fire and the way was blocked, you would love a door. And you understand the reality is we were all in that condition. We were in the imprisonment of our sin. We were in the darkness of our own ignorance. We were, as it were, living in a house under the judgment and condemnation of a holy God. Is there a door out? And is there a door into the presence of God? Jesus says with wonderful simplicity, I am the door. I am the way back. How in the world could there be such a door? How in the way could I, as a sinner, be able to have access? Because this door also, as we know, would be the Lamb of God. This door is a Lamb. This door would come, the just for us, the unjust. He would bear in His own body our guilt and bear in His own body our judgment. He would satisfy the offended wrath of God for us. The door has come for us. The door would be bloodied for us. The door would be battered for us. The door would be, as it were, disintegrated and destroyed for us. The door is set down for us that we might enter in. He is the access. He is the way. He is the door for sinners. It's like Jacob as he laid upon that little rock out in the wilderness and awoke and said, surely this is the door to heaven at Bethel. And we would say, you see, here it is. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see Him saying, I am the door, and we can say with the hymn writer, this is the fount of love and pity. This is the pathway to the city. This is the very gate of heaven. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. It is wonderful that we should find such a door, but I will have you also understand, as wonderful as it is and how infinitely gracious that it is, how exclusive that it is. Jesus says, I alone, I emphatically, I myself am the door. The Jews pointed to Moses and said, He is the door. Jesus points to Himself and says, I am the door. Jesus says it here. He says, He doesn't say, I am a door. He doesn't say, I'm one of the doors. He doesn't say what many would say about Him nowadays, that Jesus is one of the many ways to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. The way. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only door there is. And He says, basically, He says, you've got to come through me. It's as if Christ gathered up all of men's hopes, all of their prospects of glory and salvation and mercy and pardon and peace. And He says they're all compressed into Him. And it is all compressed into that door. There is no other name, right? given under heaven and earth. No other name. If there might be one, then maybe Jesus wouldn't say, I'm the door. But there's no other door. Because there's no one like Him. There's no one who has done what He has done. There is no one who could do what He has done because of who He is. No man could answer for offended righteousness for another man. No man in and of himself. No man can pay the debt for one man. He must himself offer a perfect righteousness. Christ had to have a righteousness greater than just simply the righteousness of man. Christ, because He was God, had the righteousness of God. It was an infinite righteousness that could be imputed and charged to every man who would believe. No other name given among men by which we must be saved. There is one God and one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. I want you to notice this as well. In fact, listen, if there is a door, why do I want to go looking for other doors? I mean, if God in His grace has granted that there's access, and He's made it plain, and He's made it public, and He's made it as clear as He can, even through the words of His own bloodied and dear Son, then will not you enter through that door? Why look for any others? God has not given any others. He's opened it up simply and solely through His Son. And if I know that is the door to life, then why don't I run to it? And I have, and I pray you will. And many of you have run to that door. It's personal too. It's a personal door. Jesus didn't say this. He says, your religious devotion is a door. No, He says, I'm the door. Well, maybe Jesus, if I just imitate you and try in some way to walk as you walk, that will be... No. It's not your walk. It's not your imitation. I am the door. Well, maybe and somehow if I just kind of gird it up in terms of my religious and ceremonial disciplines, if I just kind of establish a better church attendance and a better Bible reading and a pattern of prayer, then maybe... No. He says, I am the door. There's nothing of you in the door. It's all of me in the door. I'm the only door. You don't add anything to the door. You can't. It's simply Christ and Christ Himself. Any other door is a dead end. Any other hope will not take you in to what He offers. It's not the door of self-effort. It's not the door of personal improvement. Christ is the door. The story is told of a man who for most of his life was an unbeliever, a rejecter of God. And in the latter days of his life, most gloriously, God visited him with His mercy. And there was found near his deathbed a note that had these words. I tried in vain 1,000 times my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. Ever only Jesus. That's what he says. I'm the door. I'm the door. None but Jesus can do sinners good. And here's the reality that we know as well. It's a divisive claim, isn't it? It divides men, doesn't it, this claim that Jesus says, I am the door. He stands, as it were, as the great divider of men to those who would enter in and take Him at His word, this glorious truth bearer, this one whose veracity is impeccable. This one whose character is holy and perfect and says, I am the door. And men who will believe upon that claim, and there are others who will not. There will be men who will despise it and walk away from that door. Jesus is the divider of men. And some will remain outside because they will not go through God's appointed access. The whole race is divided by that claim. All of men in eternity are divided by that very claim. Of what they do with that claim. And so I want to move to the second point. I want to move to the second point, and that is what I would call the wonderful invitation that comes out of this claim. It's not so much in a sense pressed explicitly, but certainly it's there. He says, I am the door. Now let me ask you, what is a door for, kids? Oh, well, Pastor, I know what a door is for. You look at doors. You admire doors. You just, you know, that's what I like to do. I just like to drive around and I just like to admire doors. Now, for a while, I did that when I was looking for a garage door for my house. I was admiring doors. But what are doors for? Doors are to go through. That's the whole idea. A door is to go through. A door is something to be entered. A door isn't just simply something to say,
wow, how glorious and wonderful, majestic and meek is Jesus Christ. There is fullness of grace and truth and heavenly blessing in Him. Oh, He's adorable. Oh, He's wonderful. Oh, I've heard it. Oh, I know it. And they just sit and admire the door. Or maybe, well, you know, I kind of want to get up near the door. I just want to kind of just sit on the porch, as it were, right next to the door. What's a door for? It's not just to sit on the precincts. And some of you, again, I'm fearful, and I hope not many of you, many come here and sit at the very precincts of glory. You sit at the doorsteps, and there's the door offered, Jesus Christ lifted up. And you just sit on the steps and just say, wow, I'm near, I'm very near. There's the portal, there's heaven behind it, hope behind it, life behind it. It's wonderful to be on the steps. No, you're lost on the steps. You're damned and doomed on the steps. Because a door is to enter, a door is to go through. There's some of you, and I hope it's not many of you, who are basically very good defenders of the door. Guarding the portals of the door. There are people who are attacking the door. There are those on the side of Catholicism and those on the side of Islam attacking the door. I'm going to defend the door. Well, Jesus doesn't necessarily even call us to defend the door here, does He? He says, what? If anyone, what? Enters the door. Oh, but who enters? Does it need to be the wise and intelligent? Kids, how wise did you have to be to pass through a door? Did somebody have to say, now this is it, the door's open now, you know what you need to do now, don't you? You know, the door's a little high and you're this size and you go through. I mean, does it take any instruction? Look, Jesus basically, I mean, it's simple, isn't it? It says, if anyone, that sounds fairly broad. Yeah, it's broad enough to cover the world. But anyone, does that mean sinful, unholy ones? Of course. Because there are no holy and righteous ones. No, not one. Well, does that mean unworthy ones? Yes. Unholy ones? Yes. Wicked ones? Yes. Sinful, poor, decrepit ones? Yes. Ones who have just sat at the door for a long time and wonder when they can enter in? Yes. Ones who have despised the offer and calls of Christ time and time and time again, can they enter in? Yes! Anyone, says Jesus. Anyone! I mean, how broad and wonderful this high door has come low. Oh, I'm not worthy. Good, come in. Oh, I'm a nobody. Of course you are. Come on in. I've got sins you don't know about. Come in. I've got righteousness aplenty. I don't know if you can make it in. I mean, it's a wonderful broad door. Christ Himself offers men. There's no need of qualification. No need of preparation. It's simply to take Him at His word that He is who He says He is. The door of glory, the door of grace, the door of pardon, peace, and hope. And to enter in. That's all. I do. I have a wonder about those who themselves, I think about this door. It's broad enough to take in the world, but sometimes men want to bring, well, you know what? I'm going to come in that door and I'm just going to carry all of my self-righteousness and merit. Well, you know, I have a feeling that you're going to get plugged. And then there are some of you who are kind of just, heads are so high and haughtiness of what you are, you're going to bump your head, you're not going to get in. All I know is that the men that can kind of come in, there's got to be a certain sense of, listen, I'm naked, I'm poor, I'm blind, I come in low and I come in narrow, I have nothing to commend myself, I have no baggage but my sin, and you can bring that in. You can bring your unworthiness, you can bring your unqualifiedness, you can bring all that you are, which is nothing at all, and all unworthiness, and bring it and come through that door, if anyone does that. Every single one. I've denied Him 1,000 times. Well, then come in. I've rejected it 1,000 times. I've slandered. I've spurned His name 1,000. Come in. Come in. Enter through this door. That's what a door is for. That is what Christ is for. He's already exercised the judgment on every single one of us in terms of what we are. He knows what we are. He's issued an invitation, as it were, come. Enter through this door. There was a young Scottish girl who, wandering away from God,
abandoned her father's instruction and forsook all the kindness that her mom and dad had given them. And she went off to live, as it were, the prodigal life. She just went off into sin and debauchery. And one night it came to such a low point that she came to the point of contemplating suicide. She was going to kill herself. And before she killed herself, she said, I just want to go and visit home one more time. She came back home in the middle of the night, and she found the gate going into the front yard. It was open. And as she came into the middle of the night, she found the front door open. She ran in to that house. Mother, mother, the front door is open in the middle of the night. You left it open. And the mama says, I've left it open for you. I've left it open for you ever since you left, that you might come home. And the mom embraced her. One has written it this way, there is a gate. There is a gate that stands ajar. And through its portals gleaming, a radiance from the cross afar, the Savior's love revealing. Oh, depth of mercy, can it be? That gate was left ajar for me? For me, was left ajar for me. And the reality is, yes, I am the door. I've been a prodigal. I've been running and wandering, living in wickedness. Is there any way that I can come back in the midnight hour of my own life, as it were? And is the door ajar? Is it open for me? For me? And yes, bleeding love says it is. Bleeding, sacrificial, substitutionary love says the door is open. It is ajar. It is ajar for every single. Enter, says the Lord Jesus Christ. It's He who is full of truth. He who cannot deny Himself says, I am the door if anyone enters through me. He says, He who comes to me, you remember the promise? I will not cast out. It's not only that I will not reject you if you come through that door, but I will not cast you out. Coming to me, I will hold you, I will keep you, I will never reject you. And as He says in that very same chapter of John 6, and I will raise you up in the last day. I will receive you, I will keep you, and I will raise you up. And you see, as we gather as a people who worship that resurrected Christ, who is the door, I will keep you. Enter. Enter through this door. And if I haven't made it plain, then Christ goes on and says, here's the promise. Let me, as it were, give you warrant to understand that if you come out of the door of your night, out of the door of your spiritual bondage, out of your sin, out of your ruin, out of your condemnation and damnation under the righteous judgment of God, there's a doorway out. I want you to know what you enter into. He says this, you shall be saved. You shall go in and out and you shall find pasture. You shall find spiritual safety. You shall find refuge in God Himself. The only safe haven in all of eternity, the only safe haven in heaven and earth is Jesus Christ. Go to Him. There was only one ark. And when you went to the ark, there was only one place of salvation from all the storms of judgment. Jesus Christ is the ark of God. Enter through the door. Come in that gate let down as the floodwaters are going. So certainly the waters will fall. The heavens will be broken open and the deeps themselves will open up to consume men in the last day. Enter into the ark of Christ. There was a door, wasn't there, to which men would be saved in the days of Israel's Passover. When the angel of death was passing over and death itself decimated Egypt, there were those who were safe and they were the ones who hid themselves under the blood-stained doors of the sacrificed lambs. There's only one place to hide. There's only one place where the judgment of God will pass over you and the blessings of God will come to you. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Entering Him, you're saved from sins, sin's condemnation, sin's damnation, God's judgment. Entering through Him, you are saved from the power and dominion that sin has over you. It's broken, and you can live for the first time unto God. Jesus is that glorious place where we can flee and find safety. He's the door from death to life. He's the door from darkness to light. He's the door from the domain of the devil to the kingdom of God. He's all those things and more, and there's no way a preacher or any man with a tongue and a mind of human mind can even set forth all that he is as that door. But notice what else he says. Not only salvation, not only spiritual salvation, but spiritual liberty. He'll go in and out. He's going to find a liberty that he's not in. He's going to go into God. He's going to go into the fellowship of God. He's going to go into the kingdom of God. He's going to go into the church of God. He's going to go into the worship of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. And he's going to go out in service, out in delight, out in witness, out in testimony of what God has done in his glorious work. There'll be a liberty in the life. He himself who went into a way of sin and dominion will go out in newness of life to the living God. Notice there's provision, spiritual sufficiency. He shall find pasture. You're going to find real soul satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing of this world that will fill your soul. There is in Mozambique a food that the natives eat. And I asked my wife what the name of it was. She says, I think it's Shima or something like that. It's Shima. But what it is it's a cereal and it's bulky and it's kind of like bad oatmeal. If you can imagine those two things tied together. But you eat it and it fills your gut and you get really filled. You know, I'm full and I can't eat anymore. It has absolutely no nutritional value. They get full on nothing. And beloved, that is where we eat and drink in this world unless we come to Jesus Christ. We are eating and drinking of things that make us feel full, but are absolutely empty. We can be satisfied at the world's broken cisterns, but they do not give us living water that will well up to eternal life. Solomon told us that, didn't he? Didn't he? He says, I tried the oatmeal of pleasure. I tried the oatmeal of riches. I tried the oatmeal of labor. I tried every single oatmeal that the world offers. I went into its pastures and I ate and I ate and I ate and I lived off of it. And what did he say at the end of all of it? It's empty. There's no nutritional value. I'm full, but I'm starved. And the reality is you can eat and you can eat and you can eat and you'll still be dead in trespasses and sins. You'll still not have what will satisfy a soul. And Jesus Christ says, you'll enter in through me and I'll take you to pastures where your soul will be well watered, where you will find your soul filled up with what you were meant to eat and drink. It is the fullness and the blessing and the riches of the character and nature and grace of the living God. That's what it is. This is what Jesus offers. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. What if I don't enter into the door? Let me tell you. No life, no liberty, no satisfaction ever for the rest of your life. You see, it's very simple, isn't it? And what is it then? What does it mean to enter? What must I do to enter? Just simply this. Take up the feet of your faith. And trust and rely in Jesus as he says very simply, I am the door. Trust in him, trust in him, trust in him, trust in him, rely on him, rely on him, rest on him, rest on him, and you shall be saved. Anything more? No. Nothing to be added. Go through the door. Don't sit at the threshold of mercy. Don't admire the very gate of mercy. But go lay hold of him with a faith that just says simply that's what he says. That's where life is. I must have life. I must take him at his word. And that's what faith is. Faith is taking him at his word and coming in all that you aren't to all that he is. Come to Christ. He doesn't ask anything from you. And you know why. Because you've got nothing to bring. You have no holiness, but he'll give you holiness. You have no grace, but he'll give you grace. You have no beauty, but he'll put on you his garments of righteousness, and he'll begin to work his impeccable beauty in you. You have no hope, but he'll give you a hope that you'll be conformed to him in his glorious resurrected beauty as a man.
You have no citizenship here to which you can lay claim. No name, but He'll give you a new name. And He'll give you a kingdom that will not ever perish. That when all the other kingdoms of the world will pass away, then those who are with Him will sit and reign with Him in glory. Go to Him. Heaven expects cleansed hands and a holy life. But the glory is that Christ Jesus gives it to those who enter through the door. Don't faint. Don't faint before the door. Some of you have read Pilgrim's Progress and you read of Christiana and Mercy and you remember that Christiana just comes through the door. She just comes through the door. I like the way Bunyan says it. She just came through the door and there was her little friend Mercy just kind of following her. And Mercy just fainted as I think Bunyan says, swooned before the door. And there, all of a sudden, then Christiana just lifted up her voice. Oh, Lord, open the door for Mercy. And Mercy found strength and grace, and Mercy herself entered through the door. Maybe some of you have friends and relatives, and you can be as Christiana. You've come through the door. You can lift up a petition. Oh, let them not faint. Let them not halt. Let them not stay on the outside, on the porches, or way out in the backyard someplace, but let them come into the door. Oh, God, grant them faith to draw near. And some of you maybe like Mercy would be about to faint. Listen, the call goes out now. Jesus Christ Himself will appoint speakers, whoever they may be. Even to us, like me, that we would call and set out the claim again that you might hear it by the Spirit of grace. He's calling, the door is ajar. Is it ajar for me? Yes, come in. Receive Christ and receive mercy. He waits. God Himself waits in all of His fullness behind His Son to bring all that He possesses. Don't get dressed. Just come. Now I think I'll kind of get, put on a few, put on some good intentions and put on some good works. Yeah. Just come. 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 Oh, I'm kind of good. Ah, forget your goodness. You got none. Just come. Trust in Him. He will not cast you out. Jesus is the door. And wouldn't it be a glorious thing that on the day when the world as it does celebrates the Christ who has risen up, who has broken, as it were, a door through death itself, who is in a sense undeath death, who has blazed a trail for us, who Himself now will carry us up in the train of His power and His resurrected life. Wouldn't it be a glorious thing to say, yes, on that day I came through the door. May you come through the door. And all you who are inside the door, rejoice. Isn't it great to be in the pastures of the living God? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, our God in heaven, You are rich in mercy. Lord, You are rich in grace and love, and it is all manifested in the sending and giving of Your Son. Lord, offering Him up and that He Himself should come in the humility and meekness, even under such an analogy as a plain and simple thing as a door. Lord, that none would be in any confusion or misunderstanding of the way to life. That, Lord, it would be not too high or too erudite or too hard for any to understand, but from the oldest to the youngest, to the simplest, to the least, to the greatest, all might know how plain it is and how simple it is and how glorious and grand it is. To take Jesus Christ at His word and to take Him at His work. Oh God, would You show mercy to us? Lord, would You bring those who are on the outside, on the steps or halting at the door, or those who are farther away? May You, by the arm of omnipotence and mercy, draw them. Lord, bring them to the door. Lord God, carry them through it. Lord God, grant that they would walk in the obedience of faith through the door of Christ. Thank You for Your salvation. Thank You for Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.